You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Are you just going to stand there eating that sushi all night? You haven't even looked at my photorealistic macaroni sculptures.
It's Who Arted with Creative Messiah, Amy Ralphini.
Hey, good morning again, everyone. Today on Who Arted, we have Judy Miller, who is headlining the upcoming Art Ache Showcase on the 24th of November at Golden Dawn. Miller, just to give you a little brief background, received a BFA. Hi, Judy. Hi.
Good morning.
Judy, please interject if any of these facts are incorrect. That's all I'm saying. Right, now I shall continue. Received a BFA in 1980 and an MFA from the Auckland University's Elam School of Fine Arts in 1983. As recipient of a scholarship from the Italian government in 1990, she spent a year in Turin, Italy, where she studied Italian arts of the 60s and 70s, which is amazing. Miller has numerous solo shows and group exhibitions, or has had actually, in both New Zealand and Europe, and has found critical acclaim in the international press. She represented New Zealand in the 53rd Venice Biennale in 2009. This project is recreated in miniature in the 2014 pop-up book Swell, created in collaboration with paper engineer Philip Fickling and writer Trish Gribben. This book in turn inspired full-scale pop-up style works for her solo exhibition, The Model World, and large sculptures for Scape in Auckland Art at, sorry, and the Auckland Art, sorry, I've made a mess of that, Judy, I'm just moving straight ahead. Her painterly style has been described as energetic and overwhelming. It's beautifully powerful in colour and movement. To describe it myself, I would say it feels like a coconut cleanse. I don't know if anyone's actually ever had one of those. But you buy a tin of coconut cream, warm it up so it's all nice and runny, or thick coconut milk, pour it over your head in the shower. You don't want to be cold in this. And then you rub it all over your body, through your hair, over your face, all over your skin, every crevice, nook and cranny. It doesn't matter what shape you're in. It feels amazing. And then if you were to sort of scrape back areas and reveal the skin again, that's kind of what her paintings are like, but there's heaps of colour in there as well. So, Judy, hi.
Good, yeah, hi. After that, I don't know what to say.
Oh, that's good. That's what I was hoping for. So, thanks for coming in all the way from Anafora. Yeah, it is Anafora, yep. Auckland Art Gallery recently announced a new commission work by you to be installed in April 2017. You mainly split your time between here and Berlin following the summers as such. Does that mean it's going to be installed in April? Does that mean you're still going to be in Auckland in April this year? And following that up, obviously following the summers is pretty ideal. How did you make that a reality in the timeline of your life as a career?
No, well, I don't really follow summers. I go back and forwards between Berlin and here.
Yeah.
But I actually try not to follow summers because I know it sounds really nice, the idea of eternal summer, but I really like winter. I mean, the Berlin winter sucks, so you don't want to be there in winter, but Auckland winter is kind of beautiful.
But you're always here in so spring.
I'm
sort
here
of
in summer because that's in Berlin summer. Winter, but I, you know, between then and I sort of do a few shifts. So, you know, it's
so you
I'm
avoid
not,
the
I'm
Berlin.
Not like, you know, a sunbaker or anything.
Yeah, okay, I retract. She know, avoids actually, the Berlin winter. That's
yeah, I mean, contemporary artists have become a bit like the fruit pickers, you know, of olden days. They just kind of follow where the work is. So I go where the shows are or yeah, so you're right, I'll be here in April because there's something happening here, you know. But I will often find myself coming and going.
I get it in the fruit picker analogy. That's good. So another question. It's a bit random. Many artists have understudies. Well, no, not so much anymore, actually. But paid or unpaid help, not so many in New Zealand, if any, perhaps in fits and spurts. Lisa Rehana comes to mind of having a bit of a crew that regularly works for her. But I can't think, and this is just a question to get your opinion, I can't think of any artist who has trained up someone recently, or any, to continue their work after they pass from this human realm. A prodigy of sorts who's been groomed by the artist to work and carry on their work after they leave. I feel with you, but my question is, have you ever considered having one? And can it be me? And if you feed and house me, I'll just follow you around for free.
Well, we can work on that. But, you know, I'm quite lucky because I actually do use someone who's been trained, by another artist.
Yep.
So this guy in Christchurch, Bruce Edgar, who has figured out how to make some of the things that I want to come up with, who's sort of a kind of genius mind. You know, he's a classic Kiwi guy. He can make things, very complicated things, yeah, in very simple ways. And he was trained up by Neil Dawson. So now I'm kind of using him. So so it's sort of gone the other way. So, yeah, why not?
We'll have to wait till he's... Yeah.
I mean, he just does the structural stuff.
Okay.
But the more painterly stuff.
I'd be keen for that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We'll talk about that later. Yeah. So, you are the international heavyweight. Oh. That's what I'm labeling you as. Headlining artist for the November 24th Art Ake at Golden Dawn later this month. And for it, you've generated around 25 new works, especially for the event. Now, I say around because you might actually decide to trash some. You might, who knows what you might decide between now and then. And FYI, these the funds of which will be going to charity to be announced at a later date. But in the meantime, the size of these works are A4, which is a very small size for you. And I imagine it wasn't completely 100% joyful to produce. Now, you said previously art makes you feel alive and you know, life is joy, and I find art as life is joy the same. So, however, in all things, sometimes we do find that our joys can be a bit tedious. Nevertheless, you've painfully created these works for people who love your work and to whom purchasing one would be a complete impossibility usually. And so my question is why? I mean, I know why, which is the same reason I produce the event, but you're much more eloquent and succinct than I. So could you please tell us why it is important that art like this be available in this way and how it helps with the evolution of intellectual human expression?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is something as an artist you agonise over, that you're participating in a field where inevitably your work is going to end up in the hands of, pretty much always, the hands of wealthy people, because it's expensive. It's expensive to make. That's why you kind of hope that it's going to be bought by a museum, because then, of course, it ends up back in the as public property. And that's the ideal. But the museums are having less and less to spend, as we know, so that the chance of that happening is less and less. So on one hand, you know, you can go around Auckland this week and you can walk into any gallery and it costs you nothing and you can see shows for free, which is quite extraordinary. And it is the only art form where you can really participate for nothing on a certain level. It costs, you know, okay, you can listen to songs on the radio. It's a bit like that. You can go to a gallery and it costs you nothing and you can see quite extraordinary shows. And that's a great generosity that operates with gallery owners. They put on these shows, they're very expensive to put on and so on and so on. But on the other hand, if the work's going to go and actually become owned and there's a closer relationship with people, that's very difficult for people who are not making significant amounts of money. And as an artist, of course, you want to communicate with as many people as possible. So this kind of thing is a chance, you know, to make work available on a much different price range. And because it's done for charity, it sort of escapes a lot of the sometimes economic difficulties of doing these things, because it's, for me, it's just a, you know, it's a gift.
Mm.
And so, yeah, it would be fantastic if the work could be more available for everybody. So on one hand, I think it is. Mm. But on the other hand, if they're going to take it home and become very, more in a more personal relationship, that's very difficult.
Mm, it creates an opportunity for, especially through the events regularly, for people to have little treasures, and there's hope to have treasures, and you will be there as well, so people can get, you know, to say hi. But it does get quite complicated when you look at it like that. And just for those who don't really know, places like the Parr Homestead and obviously the Auckland City Art Gallery are our public or trust galleries that are very supportive within the arts. And then dealer galleries, one of which is Gail Langsford, which is actually Judy's, and then we've got other little dealer galleries that I'll sometimes read out in the art listings as well. They're the ones that actually sell the artist's work.
Yeah, but the dealer galleries you can go to for free.
Yep, they're still available to check everything out.
And you should
out.
Just walk in and go and have a look and you know, do that regularly, because it is pretty amazing. You can go and see all this stuff, you know.
Mm. And also they have openings on Tuesday or Wednesday nights. There's usually free alcohol as well.
Yes, so you get free art, free alcohol.
And let's get down to the real point. That's where we always end up in these kind of conversations. Okay, well, that's all we've got time for this morning. But thank you for coming in, Judy. And I'll post the podcast for this on social media at some point. For those who would like to come and see Judy's work, aside from it in most of the public galleries everywhere around the country, not always on right now, who it will be on the 24th of November from 5 p.m. at the Golden Dawn later this month at Artake. To see more of Judy's work, go to judymiller.com.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.